A new report says the Supreme Court healthcare ruling saves money, but at a cost.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. A report from the Congressional Budget Office says President Obama's health care law could save the federal government $84 billion over the next decade. That savings is mostly because of the Supreme Court ruling last month and a part of the law it ruled out. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has that story.
Last month, the Supreme Court ruled that states can refuse to expand their Medicaid rolls. The CBO says that means 3 million people will be shut out of Medicaid. That's where the savings comes from. But some of those people will end up buying subsidized insurance on the state health insurance exchanges the health care law establishes, and that will be more expensive than Medicaid, according to Jonathan Gruber, a health economist at MIT, who advised the Obama administration on health care reform.
Covering someone on Medicaid costs about two-thirds as much as covering them on private health insurance. It's for two reasons. One is because Medicaid pays providers less. The other is because Medicaid has lower administrative costs.
The CBO yesterday didn't have an update on total deficit reductions from the health care law, but it did estimate that Republican legislation to repeal it would increase the deficit by $109 billion. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
After a rocky couple of days, the markets are mixed this Wednesday. London's FTSE is up 0.1%. Germany's DAX is up 0.2%. Tokyo's Nikkei lost a lot of ground, down 1.4%, that mostly because of disappointing U.S. earnings. And some offline drama for Netflix. Shares of the online streaming site are poised to take a dive later this morning when markets open here in the U.S. Netflix announced a bad second quarter. Profits plunged more than 90% as the company continues to lose market share to rivals like Hulu and Redbox. Apple posted some disappointing earnings, too. That almost never happens. That was mostly due to slowing iPhone sales. U.S. markets lost ground yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 0.8% to close at 12,617. Caterpillar, the world's largest maker of construction and mining equipment, releases its quarterly earnings today. From WILL, Sean Powers reports.
Fears about poor business overseas and in the U.S. led Jefferies analyst Stephen Volkmann to downgrade his rating for Caterpillar this month. Still, he thinks the Illinois-based company will turn out a positive earnings report today.
The stock has obviously pulled back quite a bit already. I think, you know, it's unlikely in my view that you're going to see a huge disappointment against that backdrop.
Volkmann and other analysts, like Morningstar's Adam Fleck, are worried about how international markets could impact Caterpillar's long-term performance.
You can paint a pretty gruesome picture in which, you know, China gets a lot worse, Europe continues to be very bad, and even the U.S. maybe gets pulled down along with that, and Caterpillar would certainly not be immune.
Caterpillar maybe gave us a hint of what today's earnings report will say when it reported an 11% increase yesterday in machinery sales from April through June, driven in part by strong U.S. demand. I'm Sean Powers for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Reports issued by the U.S. Department of Agriculture don't usually create ripples beyond a small pool of farmers and investors. Today, though, the USDA releases a much-anticipated briefing, the monthly food price forecast. Everyone from store owners to consumers is waiting to see how food costs are likely to be disrupted by the drought that's crippling many corn and soybean farmers. That brings us to Money Matters, our regular segment exploring how the news of the day is impacting our pocketbooks. With me to talk about this is Patty Hirsch, the senior producer of our personal finance show, Marketplace Money. Welcome, Patty.
Hello, Stacey.
So, Patty, we've heard a lot about the effect this drought will have on the global food chain, especially because we're such big exporters of corn and soy.
Right.
But how about food prices in our supermarkets? Are we going to see those affected?
We are. It does depend, really, on how long the drought lasts and how much more severe it's going to get. You know, corn prices have risen maybe 45% over the summer so far. So that's pushing up the price of all sorts of food products. But it's really pushing up the price of meat and other animal-related goods. Right now, we can expect the price of meat to rise as much as 5%. And for dairy goods to rise between 2% and 4%.
That's because corn is being used as feed?
Exactly. And we can start to see those prices rise within the next couple of months or so. You'll probably see it in eggs and other dairy first.
Why eggs and dairy first?
Well, because of the short time between when those animals consume the corn, the feed, and when those products hit the markets. Obviously, you know, the chickens are eating the feed, bam, they pop out an egg. It's a lot more quick for that to take place than it is to, say, box up a box of cornflakes and put them up on the shelves.
Right, and then I guess the actual chicken comes later, the meat?
Yeah, meat is next. Although, weirdly enough, you might see meat prices fall a little bit initially because some farmers are going to want to slaughter their livestock rather than having to pay the high cost of feed.
Patty, what about some of the other foods that are made from corn, like cereal and things like that?
Yeah, like your cornflakes. That's a lot of stuff, actually, you know, because of stuff that's made of corn syrup and that kind of thing. Some consumer groups estimate that as much as 75% of the foods that we buy in the supermarket contain corn.
Wow.
Yeah, so you'd think that with corn getting really expensive now, your cornflakes are going to get a lot more expensive too. The thing is that most of the cost comes from packaging, like marketing, distribution, all that stuff. So the price of corn is going to have to get really, really high before it really bumps up the price of a box of cornflakes.
So we might see just like a small bump in those kinds of foods.
Hopefully, although if the drought spreads, it could get worse. I mean, right now the drought's affecting only about a third of corn and soybean production. If it does spread and crops in states like North Dakota or Minnesota are affected, we could start to see prices go a lot higher in the future.
Patty Hirsch is the senior producer of our personal finance show, Marketplace Money. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you, Stacey.
And finally, Twitter is getting into the movie business, the social networking site where users express themselves in 140 characters or less, is teaming up with several Hollywood producers to launch original video series on the site. The shows would be promoted with tweets and linked to a special Twitter media player, probably. User tweets could also influence the plots, very briefly, anyway. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.